This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His blessings, may His mercy, may His safety be upon you all. MashaAllah. It's a blast from the past, not a distant past, that I'm feeling right now, because I stood in front of you in this masjid, subhanAllah, 12 lunar months ago, last Ramadan. And if I recall correctly, I spoke to you all about the best of all nations, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This time around is a little bit different. I've been mostly stationed in Melbourne, and I started a series this Ramadan with them. That series shifted to Brisbane last week when I visited Brisbane for a couple of days, and I'm visiting Sydney this time for a couple of days. And the request from the masjid, mashallah, Markaz of Imam Ahmed, or Liverpool Islamic Center, mashallah, it's not Liverpool Football Club, definitely. The request has been also from the brothers and sisters back home that the series continues. It's always challenging to continue a series in multiple locations. So inshallah, I will do so, and I will try and mitigate as much as I can by beginning with a summarized summary of what we've taken thus far. So firstly, what series are we running this year? Or am I running with the communities in Australia this year? It's a 21st century series, but connected to the Quran, and in particular Surah Yusuf. So Surah Yusuf, but lessons that we can deduce from it that apply to us in the 21st century. And the entire Quran is a timeless guide. It's the final testament, it's the timeless miracle. And Surah Yusuf, subhanAllah, in particular, is one of those surahs that has been described as an entire school. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentions that there's over 1,000 benefits that can be derived from Surah Yusuf. But subhanAllah, he didn't leave us the book with the 1,000 benefits. He left us to work. He told us about his journey, and he encouraged us to have our own journey. And this should be the way of a believer, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. مَا أُنزِلَ لِكَيْ يُقْرَأُ وَفَقَتْ وَمَا أُنزِلَ لِكَيْ يُسْتَمَعُ إِلَيْهِ وَفَقَتْ وَمَا أُنزِلَ لِكَيْ يُحْفَظُ وَفَقَتْ بَلْ أُنزِلَ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, this timeless miracle, the only miracle that existed after the passing of a prophet, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't only reveal it so we could recite it, or so that we could listen to it, or so that we could memorize it. Predominantly, the Quran was foundationally revealed so that we may interact with it, we may ponder over it. And through this interaction, those of objectivity who allow the Quran to guide them, they will become guided. This is our ultimate objective. So Ibn al-Qayyim mentioning what he did without giving us a silver spoon, ultimately is to push us to continue that journey. That with every generation, we have people who interact with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deduce from it lessons that enable them during the time, the space, and the place that they are in. Surah Yusuf is that madrasa. It's an entire school. It's the school of complete guidance, subhanallah. If you want to understand the reality of the Quran, Surah Yusuf is for you. If you want to understand how to raise your child, Surah Yusuf is for you. If you want to understand the social dynamics between siblings, Surah Yusuf is for you. If you want to understand what oppression means, especially to those who are closest to you, then the surah is also for you. If you want to understand how to deal with those who oppress you, irrespective of the degree of distance and proximity they are to you or from you, the surah is for you. If you want to understand psychological mindsets, you find this in Surah Yusuf. If you want to understand historical context, Surah Yusuf is for you, because Israel is said to be predominantly Yaqub alayhi salam. And at the end of the story, we know that Yaqub migrated from Palestine, from Canaan and these lands to Egypt. And his sons are said to be the heads of the tribes of Israel, and such Accordingly, we have Banu Israel. So this brings a lot of historical context. So Surah Yusuf is there for that as well. If you want to understand the HR mechanisms for hiring appropriate staff for whatever entity you run, Surah Yusuf is a school for you. If you want to understand how to build a strong GDP, Surah Yusuf also is a school for you. Subhanallah, if you want to understand how to be an effective leader and a just leader, Surah Yusuf is for you. If you want to understand how to be a proactive refugee, a proactive alien in a society, Surah Yusuf is for you. The lessons are countless, subhanallah. And that's why today we have postgraduate research connected to Surah Yusuf, psychology from Surah Yusuf, economics from Surah Yusuf, and so on and so forth. Unbelievable research, subhanallah, that benefit us in this day and age, further cementing for us the idea of how the Quran indeed is the timeless miracle, the final testament, the timeless guide, and subhanallah, an entire school. Thus far, with our brothers and sisters in Australia, in summary, we've taken the following from the beginning of the surah, given that it was revealed before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I shared some theory about the Makki revelation versus the Madani revelation, and we deduced from this lesson the importance of prioritization when we engage people and the importance of approach. What to say, when to say, how to say things when we engage people with what we've prioritized in terms of their guidance, in terms of their development. Then we went into this idea of barakah and blessings and how to achieve blessings. And this lesson was deduced from the basmala. The basmala is the name of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Thereafter, we went into a lesson connected to the Quran and how it is this timeless miracle that I've been describing, and that is from the disjointed letters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to open Surah Yusuf, Alif, Lam, Ra. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Quran immediately after opening a surah with these disjointed letters. Then we went into further discussions about the depth of the Quran, the ability of the Quran to guide via the stories of the Quran, and how dynamic the Quran is in its instruction and in its guidance, that it offers us heart-rendering advice, and then it offers us rules about halal and haram, and then it also teaches us through stories, subhanallah. And through the stories of the Quran, do we find laws as well? Do we find halal and haram as well, but through albeit a different instruction? And this is testimony to the dynamic nature of the Quran. And this also teaches us, subhanallah, how we need to be dynamic in our approach when we engage life, when we engage people, so that we keep our approach fresh, we keep our approach current. It's not that our approach becomes boring, or it becomes a norm, or it becomes a habit void of a soul, such as the Quran's guidance, that the Quran teaches us and takes us on a journey, but it's dynamic in terms of its approach to keep us current. Then we went into a lesson or two dedicated to the prophetic school of parenting, and we deduced the school from how Allah opened Surah Yusuf, introducing us to a discussion that happened between Yusuf alayhi salam and his father about this dream that Yusuf alayhi salam saw. And we went into the psychology of it. Why would a child go to his father and not his mother? Why would a child find a dream like this bewildering, worthy of seeking clarity off and upon and advice over? Why would a child query this in the first place? So we went into the psychology and we tried to attach that psychology to context, right? Because the Quran, especially in its stories, because it only releases to us information that is necessary. And then the Quran leaves us to interact with him to fill in the gaps. Subhanallah. Highlighting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being and the mind of the human being and the heart of the human being, and Allah knows the human being best, and Allah knows what the human being can achieve when that human being interacts with the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The source of the Quran is Allah. The creation of the human being is Allah. The source for both the Quran and the human being and the fitrah and the heart and the soul is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why no one can come up with any verse, any story, any chapter that can match the Quran, subhanallah, because the source for the Quran and the one that interacts with the Quran is one perfect source, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah wants us to interact with the Quran and reveals knowing that we have the ability. So He reveals the story in a particular way, and we go into the psychology of this, and you can find this on the recorded sessions that are online on the National Zakah Foundation pages and my own YouTube page. So I sincerely advise you to sit down with these lessons and along with your families, inshallah, and make it a means of discussing those lessons in light of your home, in light of your job, in light of your education, your city, your unique circumstances, and what those lessons mean to you. From the prophetic school of parenting, we went, as the Quran fast forwards us, to sibling dynamics, because Allah takes us thereafter into a discussion that is taking place elsewhere between the other brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, the senior brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, and we tapped into the psychology there and the dynamics there, and also the logistical tactics of shaitan, how shaitan operates and how shaitan deceives and how shaitan takes a person from guidance to misguidance in stages, and what are the tools of shaitan. We interacted with these verses in this way, connecting it to some of the lessons that we've learned from Ibn al-Jawzi's Talbis Iblis, The Devil's Deception, for he has an amazing work that I encourage everyone to read to understand the psychology of shaitan and how shaitan operates. That sometimes, subhanallah, he also takes us into misguidance through something that we feel is noble. And shaitan took the brothers of Yusuf away into misguidance via which avenue? The love that they had for their father. This is something noble. Nobody doubts the love that they have for their father. Nobody thinks that the love I have for my parents is a bad thing. But subhanallah, shaitan pushed them so hard into this love for their father and they want to be recognized that they became misguided in their thoughts. They went into extremes, subhanallah. And Ibn al-Jawzi has many examples of how shaitan takes people through. He pushes them deeply into guidance to take them out of guidance. That within guidance, they fall into the extremes such that they fall into the realm of misguidance, not recognizing, subhanallah, that they are living upon misguidance, upon an extreme, upon a reality that goes against the mainframe and boundaries of the Sharia. Thereafter, we discussed, or we went on to the lessons of Yusuf alayhi salam post-abduction, for he was abducted twice, first by his brothers and then by the people of the caravan. And then we tried to build a reality set pertaining to Yusuf alayhi salam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his decree and his will, tested Yusuf alayhi salam, and all of a sudden he became homeless. And as a result of becoming homeless, he became fatherless. As a result of becoming fatherless, because of the actions of his brothers, he became brotherless. And then when he was abducted from the well, he became freeless because they abducted him as a slave. And then they transported him out of Egypt beyond his will, without his choice. And as such, he became landless, citizenless, residentless. He became all of a sudden an alien slave, subhanallah. And then he was thrown into the slave market of Egypt, and I shared some historical context about how the slave market of Egypt was back then and what a test this is in and of itself. So we went into this whole discussion, subhanallah, of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Yusuf alayhi salam, and how subhanallah guided Yusuf alayhi salam was from the meaning through these tests, connecting this guidance to the message of his father to him, when his father said to him at the beginning, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, till the verse, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And you will get the lessons from this when you go through the lesson pertaining to prophetic parenting from Surah Yusuf. There's great depth there, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, subhanallah, of the application of a mother and father and what they should teach their children and when they should teach their children. And subhanallah, guidance that is an answer to what many of us do today, whereby we coddle our children. We, to an extent, try and protect them, to keep them innocent, but we don't really understand what are we keeping them innocent from. Yaqub alayhi salam, when Yusuf was a young boy, he taught him that Allah has three names. He's the Rabb and the meaning of Rabb. He's Alim and the meaning of Alim. He's Hakim, the wise one, the meaning of Hakim. And also, he taught his son about shaitan. Inna shaytana lil insani aduun mubin. That indeed shaitan to you is a clear enemy, subhanallah. Not justifying what his brothers did to him. No, what they did was wrong. But reminding him, subhanallah, that whenever someone wrongs you, don't forget shaitan's hand in that operation. And we see this resonating with Yusuf alayhi salam, because finally, when subhanallah, he is united with his brothers and he reminds his brothers of what they did to Yusuf, and they're shocked to see that they're standing in front of a man who knows what they did. They say to him, "Innaka la anta Yusuf, are you Yusuf?" And he affirms that he is Yusuf. Immediately he sees them falling into a state of regret. But immediately he says, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm," there's no blame upon you today. Right? And we went into the idea behind this, the context behind this. And the summary of it is, you only tell someone that there's no blame upon them today when you've already forgiven them. Because we all know when we wrong each other, Allah will never forgive us until the person we wronged forgave them. And Yusuf alayhi salam immediately says, "Yaghfirullahu lakum," Allah will forgive you. Why will Allah forgive you? Because I already forgave you. Why did I forgive you? Because my father taught me about shaitan's role in your misguidance. And we see this in the speech of Yusuf when he finally addresses his brother later on. He tells them about what they did to him, but in the form of making an excuse for them. He says, "In kuntum jahilun," when you used to be ignorant. What did you do to Yusuf when you used to be ignorant? I mean, who speaks like that? Who speaks to a person who's wronged them, making an excuse for them? That this is what you did to him, but no, when you never used to know, when you were ignorant, right? So this is all from the prophetic school of parenting. Then we fast-forwarded the story, subhanallah, into this idea of how Allah's mercy is ever near. Inna rahmatullahi qareeb. From who? Min al-muhsineen, those who do good. And we see this by analyzing Surah Yusuf in some detail. Because when the brothers were plotting to kill him, we see Allah's mercy falling upon Yusuf. And many of us would not recognize that as mercy. How so? Allah inspired one of the hearts of the brothers to say, "Don't kill him, but throw him down a well." Yes, throwing him down a well is bad, but which is worse? Death, being killed. So this is a mercy from Allah, right? The next mercy we see is how Allah inspired the minister of Egypt to be in the slave market on that day, and for his eyes to fall upon Yusuf alayhi salam, and for him to have the sixth sense to choose Yusuf over everybody else in the market. That Yusuf will become established in the land in the best of homes. Guess what? He could have been bought by a tyrant. He could have been bought by someone who had no morals, no manners, no etiquettes. Could have been beating Yusuf. But no, Allah inspires a man who sees him as a potential son. So he buys this boy and takes him home. And he says to his wife, "Akrimi mathwah," make his stay comfortable. That he may benefit us. Or perhaps we may take him as a child. This is a mercy from Allah. Subhanallah. And one of the examples I shared with my brothers in modern day and sisters in modern day times is, for example, you're working for a company and the company is deciding to release you, to let you go. Subhanallah. The company is deciding to let you go. And one of the directors in that meeting says, "Don't fire him. Just change his department." So what happens? The meeting's over. They've agreed to change your department. But that entails a downgrade. That entails a downgrade. Your salary's been downgraded, your position's been downgraded. When you get the news, you say, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah," and you're throwing your arms up in the air, and look up, this is a test from Allah, and you know. But you don't realize, subhanAllah, it could have been worse. That the dua you are making to Allah has helped you. Some people go on into question, "But I'm making dua to Allah, and Allah's not answering my dua." But hold on. Ya Abdullah, O servant of Allah. Ya Amat Allah, O female servant of Allah. How do you know? Your circumstance could have been worse. Allah's mercy is near. As long as you do good, Allah's mercy is near. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this to us in Surah Yusuf. Because Allah fast forwards Surah Yusuf to the point where Yusuf now has gone through his teens with idols around him, with immorality around him. His 20s, same environment. His 30s, same environment. Now he's hit 40. He hasn't heard about Allah, about Rabb, about Alim, about Hakim. He hasn't heard about shaitan and all these things since he was in the home of his father. And suddenly he's locked in a room when he's at the prime of his manhood and he's not married and he's a human being and he has desires with a lady of power who is in charge of him, who is beautiful, who has financial standing, who has material well-being. She's a resident, she's a citizen. She has all the titles of power and he doesn't. And she locks the door. She creates the scene whereby nobody can see them. Tightly shut. غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. This means it's not just closed, it's locked. And then she presents herself to him. This is totally different to what we know. We know that if anything, the harder one to win is the lady. is the female, because she works more on emotions as opposed to the man. You need to convince her. You need to work those emotions. It takes time. But she is sort of, she's presenting a test to Yusuf alayhi salam. I described it to our brothers and sisters in Melbourne as oven ready. No one is ready to be served. This is the test. It's all ready for you. Now, what's interesting is you don't hear Yusuf's voice throughout the story, except at the beginning of the story when he's 7 years old or 8 years old in the home of his father, up to the age of 40. Even when he's transported as a slave out of Egypt, he's not crying for his rights. He's patient and he's doing good. But suddenly here you hear Yusuf's voice, and what's the first thing he says? Ma'ath Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. Subhanallah. Who taught this teenager about Allah? Or this man in his 20s about Allah? Or in his 30s? Or until he gets to 40. We talk about the teenage years, the formative years, the years of guidance, the years of misguidance, where environment makes you or breaks you. But subhanallah, the barakah of the prophetic parenting model has lasted with him. Allah protects him in that moment. And he fears Allah. Why? My father told me when I was a little boy that your Lord, the one who protects you, when no one knows where you are, he knows where you are. And he knows why you're there. Inna rabbaka alimun hakim. So he understood that. That no one can see me, but my father taught me that Allah knows where I am. He sees me. So he seeks refuge in Allah, who he knows is with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, this is how we avert misguidance from those whom we will. Allah averts misguidance from those whom he wills. Who does Allah avert misguidance from? Allah says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He was from the chosen ones. In another qira'ah, مُخْلِصِينَ. He was from the sincere ones. That those who sincerely live for Allah, we can deduce from these two qira'at, that those who sincerely live for Allah, Allah chooses them. And when Allah chooses them, they are protected by Allah. Shaitan cannot have an effect over them. And this is where we stopped with our brothers and sisters in Melbourne. How many minutes do I have left, Sheikh? If you give me even 5 minutes, Tayyib. Very quickly, just to bring some addition. So the team in Melbourne, they don't say, Sheikh, we didn't learn anything new from Sydney. We have to give them something. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. We brothers to each other, and the ummah is one body. Moving forward, subhanallah, Yusuf, Allah tells us that Yusuf alayhi salam was chosen and he was protected. And Yusuf alayhi salam then takes the means. And he takes the means by dashing for the door. Even though he knew the door was locked, he took the means. There's lessons in this for us, O servant of Allah. Because today, subhanallah, the fitan, I don't say fitna, I say the fitan, the trials, the misconceptions are too many, subhanallah. And they trend, subhanallah. They feel like they're overwhelming, Allahul Musta'an. You feel like you can't breathe. Right? And Yusuf alayhi salam is teaching us how to behave when you feel the walls are caving in, that there's no way out. You still take the means. Even if it's a weak means, take the means. Subhanallah. He rushed for a door that he knew was locked. And this teaches us the importance of running away from the triggers, of getting away from the triggers. Subhanallah. Getting out of that environment. And it also teaches us the harms of intermingling and the harms of khalwa. The harms of mixed environments, the harms of being alone with a member of the opposite gender in a space. Because you can see what's happening here. She's living with him and she's developing ideas, and then she has now time and place to enable these ideas. And this is what happens, that the Sharia is wise, that the Allah who revealed the law, banning khalwa, banning intermingling, being alone with a female and intermingling with her, he's the Allah who created the male and the female. And this is where trust needs to come in. That when you say, I believe in one Allah and Muhammad as the messenger, you extend trust to it. You don't try and offer your own interpretation of it. You don't try and make society the yardstick for understanding the guidelines with regards to it. This is what we say today, where everybody is doing it. Then you should be from the few. As we learn today in the salah. فَأَبَىٰ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. Most of mankind deny the haqq and the truth. Most of mankind choose to disbelieve. And Allah tells us in Surah Yusuf, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of mankind do not know. Why do you want to be from the most? Why do we have this sentence rolling off our tongues? But everyone's doing it. But this is how it is. But this is our norm. But people will feel that we are backwards. Aren't you from the family of Al-Quran? أَمَا تَقْرَأُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do you not read the Quran? Allah tells you verse after verse, don't be from the majority. Except if the majority is guided. Be from the minority. Especially if they're guided. This is where success is. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about a time when practicing the ideals of the Quran and the Sunnah will be tantamount to holding burning coal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Fatuba lil ghuraba," glad tidings to the strange ones. Yeah, not the wrong strange, the right strange, huh? Glad tidings to the strange ones, those who remain upon the haqq when everyone is pushing for batil. And that's why the leaders are always few, my dear brother and mother and sister and father in Islam. The leaders will always be few. Don't be from the sheep, be from the leaders. This is what Yusuf alayhi salam teaches us. He rushes for the door. That weak means where everyone there, shaitan would have told him, you're wasting your time. Allah made it a means of his khair. Goodness, why? When he got there, the door opened for him. And who was at the door? Her husband, subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how confident she was in her misguidance, how well she planned it. She thought, you know what? What if my husband finds me with him? You know what I'll tell him? It's him who did all of it. And guess what? He'll believe me. He won't believe him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps him with a witness. A witness that doesn't have primary evidence, but he has what we call secondary evidence. He wasn't there to see what happened, but he was there to analyze the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam. And understand, where is the shirt torn? We can see there's a shirt here. The shirt is torn. Is it torn from the front or is it torn from the back? And the wise man says to the husband that if the shirt is torn from the front, she's telling the truth. He locked her in and he was trying to get to her. But if it's torn from the back, she's lying and he's telling the truth. He was running away and she was pulling him to her. Subhanallah. This is how Allah's help comes upon you. Right? Last thing, my dear brother and sister in Islam, from this idea of how Yusuf alayhi salam, one thing that happened here is when she blamed him confidently that my husband will believe that it's his fault and not me, we see Yusuf alayhi salam speaking again. There's very few points in Surah Yusuf that you hear the voice of Yusuf. And it's all to do with haqq, subhanallah. You hear him in his father's house. You hear him now when he's being tested. You hear him in the prison. You hear him interpreting the dream of the king. You hear him speaking to his brothers. And finally, you hear him when he's rounded with his family at the end of the story, subhanAllah. You can count it on one hand. Yusuf alayhi salam, when she accuses him, he speaks up. And the scholars of tafsir and fiqh, they deduce from this that it's compulsory upon a believer to preserve his haqq, to preserve his aura, to preserve his sanctity, to preserve the truth, to preserve his honor or her honor. That if somebody lays claim onto your honor, you need to speak up. You need to speak up respectfully, but you need to speak up. Yusuf alayhi salam spoke up and said, no. She tried to entice me. It's not as she says. And as we said, Allah blessed him with the evidence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Accept our Ramadan. Make us from the family of Al-Quran. Not just those who read it, but interact with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us love the Quran. And make the Quran truly the timeless miracle in our life. Wallahi, brothers and sisters in Islam, Surah Yusuf, I've taught it over years in many countries. Wallahi wa billahi wa tallahi. Every time I teach it, I deduce some new lessons that I didn't teach before. And I tell the audience, this is new, I've never taught it before. It's never a book that you can read and say, khalas, I finished the Quran. Never. Because you can never finish reading the Quran. You can never finish. You read it again, the Quran will speak to you again. You read it again, it will speak to you again. And that is why from the sunnah of the pious before us, when they got to one nas, they would start from Baqarah again. To show that you can never ever finish reading the Quran. I love you all for the sake of Allah and leave you with these words. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.